broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and if I don't sound much better than last night, I can tell you that I'm a little bit better. It's simply a matter of, I guess, perception, but tonight I've been feeling fine for the last couple of weeks, but if you joined us last night and if you've been at all aware of what's been happening on the show behind the scenes, I contracted some kind of vile, nasty illness on the road, most likely as I was traveling north of the border. And I don't want anybody to think that I believe Canada to be a steaming pit of disease, but it would seem that way. No, I'm kidding. It's the luck of the draw, man. You know, when you travel, especially aircraft. And, of course, Art Griego and I got into it last night talking about that airplanes being as filthy as they are. But nonetheless, welcome to our program. And we're going to go again tonight as long as we can. I've got some of the greatest doctors in the world. I've got some of the finest medicines in the world. I've got some of the best dope. I mean, I've got some of the best crew members. And so we're going to be fine. I'm kidding about the reference I made there. Anyway, welcome to the program here, guys. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous for one reason and one reason only. Most of the time, I don't sound like this. And we're going to be here with you one way or another until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We do a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I'll tell you something, we do go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. All you got to do is ask them, and they'll tell you that, and because they know they can't lie. All right, now tonight I want to kick off with our affiliate spotlight right off the bat here. Charlotte, WBCN, great station there on the Phil Hendry Radio Show Network, and in Rockford, Illinois, WNTA, that in Rockford. Two stations, two great stations on our radio network. If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you've got a backstage pass subscription to the site, you can watch live streaming video of our show every night. And you can also watch other video features. Sometimes we do one-off. Sometimes we do a little special wrap in the afternoon. Sometimes we'll come on and do commentary. We have a variety of video rants as well on our website. We have at least 15 years of archived radio material. We have our daily podcast. We have webisodes. And I can tell you that this show, the Phil Hendry Show, is well worth it because, as we like to say, it's the only radio show worth watching as well as listening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't know how many phone calls we'll take tonight. We do have some very, very special guests, people who are going to join us here this evening and talk about very important bits of news. Casey Anthony, of course, is, I don't know if she's still at the top of the list, but she's up there. So we are going to talk about Casey Anthony. We're also going to be talking about a situation with a children's bookstore in Las Vegas. Brad Rifkin is an advertising executive. If we get a chance to get to Brad, we're going to talk with him about that. Harvey Wireman will join us. He's an attorney at law to talk about how the attorneys in the Casey Anthony case got all of the facts wrong. I mean, completely wrong. And Chris Norton of Norton Splodes is not withdrawing his porn contract. Vivid did. Mr. Norton is not. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining us tonight from the Valley here in Los Angeles out on Ventura Boulevard, there is a store called Je T'aime Lingerie. It is owned by Rudy Canoza. He is a businessman who does an awful lot of traveling and has been not only here in the United States, but has traveled throughout South America, has been watching the news and has been getting sort of the lay of the land from other countries and, you know, other consumers of the news and other people who are watching what's going on here in the United States. And he joins us this evening from his store. And, Rudy, I want to start off, first of all, by welcoming you. Thank you.
It's always my pleasure, Phil. Any way that I can help you tonight, because
I'm suffering a little bit.
Yes, I can tell you're struggling.
But I also want you to honestly give me that perspective that you have when it comes to, you know, your country.
Yes.
And other countries and the way that America is perceived. Because I don't think I'm stretching the truth when I say that we have some very interesting news. When you talk about the United States, there's always something very strange happening here. And there's always something that is obviously, you know, attracting the attention of the world.
Well, there's no question, Phil, that the United States, for everyone in the world, is the center of opinion is the center of the world, in the sense that the business of the world, the cultural business of the world, the attitude of the world, and in many ways the future of how people are going to perceive society, you know.
Right.
Is the United States. And so these stories you say that are bizarre, I would say that they're not all the stories that come from America are so-called bizarre. There's a great many stories that come from America that I think are uplifting to people.
That's the foghorn. I've heard that in your store before.
Yeah.
And we can talk to our audience about that, but does that have to do...
How are you this evening? The store, when we talk about Jutem lingerie, we have a lingerie, very fine materials. We use a lot of silks, and we do an awful lot of buying from Europe. And so we don't want the samples, and we don't want the items that we're selling to suffer any damage if they're being fitted, if there are some women who are trying them on, you see. If we have, and I don't know how much of this you want
to... Well, I think it's necessary to tell people.
Right, if we have a woman who are coming in this dark evening, are you?
All right.
If we have women coming in, and people can hear that.
Yes, they can.
Right. The reason what we're doing there is that the women who come into the store who are their body type is alarming.
All right. When you say body type is alarming, you're talking about a woman that is overweight, correct?
Say that again, Bill.
When you talk about, I'm not doing too well tonight. When you talk about body type that's alarming, you're talking about an overweight woman.
Not overweight, but thick, large, and big bone, you can say. It's still not necessarily overweight, but that the body type itself is not good to be. Hold on for a minute, Phil. 1, 2, 3. Did you come in? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Is the...
All right. Okay, so the body type is of such that it's a possibility when the women are trying on the lingerie, they're going to damage it. Now, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Casey Anthony. Hearing that foghorn going off, people should not be distracted.
No, people should not be distracted. It's part of our business.
But they're going to be hearing that, and they're going to ask. So this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear the foghorn, it's because there are...
To make it as clear as I can, so there are fat women coming in the store. If you want to say they're fat, they're big women. The big, just big women that are coming into the store. So, how are you? And
that is that you hitting a button?
That is either me or John Chanel, who is my partner here. He sits at the cash register, and that's really all that he does. In fact, tonight he's on the popcorn. I can only tell you that when we have these women that come into the store. And they are, you know, as I mentioned, they are the body type that are going to, we're afraid they're going to stretch out. John, give it a rest, will you? I'm on the radio right now. You know?
Yeah, if he could somehow.
If you need to give it a rest, because I'm on the radio right now. John, when you get. He's my partner.
If anything he can do to keep from hitting that foghorn.
We have a sale going on. I have tried to discourage women who I don't think should wear this kind of clothing from going in our store. And that's why we use this. But Jesus.
You use this foghorn to try to keep women who are too big from coming in and buying your lingerie.
That is correct.
Has it worked?
No, it is not. No, it has not. Yeah, obviously, it has worked. See? There are some nights when we're sitting here, and so there's no way, huh? I'm talking to Johnny. He said there's no way that we cannot use the foghorn because we've got good business tonight, but every other woman that's coming in here, she's a big, big gal, you know.
All right, let's get back to Casey Anthony, and we'll just have to live with this. Talking with Rudy Canoza here, folks, on our radio show this evening. Rudy is the owner of Jutem Lingerie, and we're talking about Casey Anthony. Rudy, when you and I were talking this afternoon, man, you must have a lot of...
Yeah, there's a lot of them, right? We got a lot of big women coming in, Phil. I apologize for that.
Okay, this afternoon when you and I were talking, we were talking about Casey Anthony, and you were talking to me about what you called interdiction or preempting what happened here. In other words, doing something, taking some action.
Go ahead, Phil.
Taking some action that would keep her from behaving the way that she did by lying, and God knows, in the opinion of some of us, boy, I'll tell you, you must be...
If I could leave the store, I would, Phil.
I don't know whether we can do this or not.
Well, I want to help you.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. I've got Rudy Canoza on the line. He's your partner. He's going to do what he needs to do, I guess, to keep...
There's nothing I can do. John wants to... John said to me... Boy, he's got a pair on him. He said to me, you're the guy, you're the big shot on the radio. I'm just sitting here.
Is he trying to ruin this interview?
No, he's not. I'm looking at what's coming through the door tonight, and it's all what we call, it's all thick business. It's real thick cut stuff.
What do you mean thick cut?
It's a term you would use for bacon. But, and I apologize, I should have told you that, but we use it sometimes for women that come in and choose to look at this.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. As I mentioned to you guys at the outset of the program tonight, we're going to take this a segment at a time, really, as to how well we can do with the broadcast this evening, because, again, I'm getting over this very severe laryngitis that has afflicted me since my return from Canada. Rudy Canoza at Je T'aime Lingerie this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back. And again, my apologies for the state of my throat, but it's a very severe case of laryngitis that ultimately, and we're taking it one day at a time, I can tell you that it'll get better. Fortunately for me, I've got a very good man with me, Rudy Canoza from Je T'aime Lingerie in Encino, California. And Rudy is right now a lot of business over there, Rudy, as we talk about Casey Anthony. From the standpoint of what the world has seen and the traveling that you do between the United States, Europe, and South America, I wanted to ask you before we... Okay, so we're still not going to be able to do anything in terms of the foghorn, huh?
Unfortunately, Phil, Steve is telling me, is my partner, you know, we're in a recession, and I can't keep the doors locked. You know, my suggestion, if I could, I'm not trying to tell you your business, but let's just forget it, ignore it, and let's continue to speak of a very serious situation, which is the case of Anthony. This is a woman, in my opinion, and in my opinion only, I'm sure that a great many people agree with me. That Casey Anthony has been a...
Boy, every time I talk to you, it seems like only fat women come in your store, because every time we're talking, it seems as if, just like now, it seems like that...
I'll tell you, no, not only fat women come in. What does that mean? What's that crack mean?
What do you mean, what does that crack mean? Every time I talk to you, I'm hearing what I'm hearing right now, which is a foghorn. I can't believe that there are heavy-set women that will come back to your store after being subjected to this clarion call, hey, here comes a fat woman.
It is a way of letting her know that she is a thick presence in the store. And we're not saying they're fat. I say that they're big. They're just real big. And, yes, big women want to have lingerie, too.
But if big women want to have lingerie, too, and you don't want them trying on your stuff in the store, then how do they even know that they're going to... How do you know they're going to buy anything there?
They always buy. And I tell them, you can buy this, you take it home. If you stretch it out of shape, if you destroy it, if you ruin it, if the elastic is shot after the very first wearing, if you've torn the fabric, minute, Steve. Give it a rest, will you? I understand that, but...
Well, you got to do something, man, because it's a little distracting.
Oh, really? It's distracting for you, but for me, I'm in his store all day long, and all he does is get his finger on the button. So the point I'm making is that these women, if they destroy the lingerie by taking it home, finally we have a reprieve. And why is it? Okay. They've got a yogurt. Like, it's pretty funny. They're giving away Yoplait over here. So.
And that's why you don't have any big women coming in.
That's what I'm figuring. Yoplait's got a giveaway. Next door, is it the yogurt place? It's over at the yogurt stand.
All right, let's get back to Casey Anthony as long as we have this moment. So, Casey Anthony, in your opinion, is when we talk about this woman being subjected to the reprisal, when we talk about this woman being subjected to vigilante justice, these are all rather ugly, I think, aspects to this case, and I don't think they put America in quite the right light. But you were saying to me it's common everywhere.
That this woman is some kind of an animal, you know. I don't want to say I'm a gentleman, you know, but anyone that would treat a child as this woman has, and I believe she has, as you have told me, and I agree with you, that I think that she is some kind of an animal that should be put. Where do you put an animal? You put it in a cage. You put it in a pen. You tie a rope around its neck, and you keep it tethered to a cage. And that's what I think this animal should do. But in the world, you see, the people of the world have looked at this case, and they don't react much different from the people of America. They all say the same thing. This pig, this cow. And believe me, I love women. And there is no one, I think, that you will speak with, Phil, that appreciates a woman more than I. And I've told you many times, you know, I'm bringing my own Argentinian culture to America. If I see a beautiful woman, I will say to her, you know.
Now, that is a very bizarre greeting that you use.
What do you mean bizarre? I don't know. What does that mean? Bizarre.
It's a very bizarre way of greeting a woman to just go like that.
Well, Phil, with all due respect, you have a very bad laryngitis. You just sounded like some kind of thing from a sewer. What you did?
What do you mean a thing from a sewer?
You went, I don't go, I'm not trying to do a horrible thing. I go, la, 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 la.
All right, I understand that, but that is you sticking your tongue out and wagging it at a perfectly strange woman. Isn't that right?
You see, here's the problem. When you say it, it sounds as if I'm a pig. Just a pig. Just a common pig. Nothing more, nothing less than a pig. A pig in a suit, a pig in an expensive pair of shoes, if you will. A pig who drives a sports car, but a pig nonetheless. When you tell people what I do, let me tell people what I do.
All right.
What I do, ladies and gentlemen, is I go up to a beautiful woman and I say, how are you? May I say to you, the compliments of my country, Argentina, la 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 la. Or, if I am in a mood to be more intimate with a woman, I will say to her, good evening. The compliments of my country, Argentina. Blah, 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 blah.
And you don't... All right.
Listen, you know, you sound so bad that when you try to talk, you sound like something that lives... You sound like that monster that lived in the street. What was that thing called? Cruel? The thing from the sewer? You know?
I don't know what you're talking about. All I'm saying is I'm suffering with laryngitis. But you and I have talked before. When you go blah, 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 or anything like that, I've heard women call this show and say, you sound like... You're mentally retarded.
Yes, I've heard that kind of slander. I heard that slander. I heard that slander from pigs that called you from my home country. I listened to a woman from Argentina call the show, and she said that I sounded like some kind of, and I'm quoting her. I did not use the word. She used the word. I did not use the word. She used the word. And she said I sounded like a retard, you know. But I'm here to tell you that when I say this to a woman, I say it with a great compliment. If I look at Casey Anthony, I would never go up to Casey Anthony and say, how do you do? I would not do that. The more appropriate thing to do with a Casey Anthony would be to have Phil Henry go up to her and go, ah, the way you sound.
I got to tell you something. Your store, is the business slowing down?
Business has slowed down ever since they started giving away the... they're giving away yogurt samples, and they've got some... there's a sour cream. What is it? A sour cream festival.
What do you mean a sour cream festival?
I don't know. Do I look like I know? Is that music? Because if it's getting us out of this segment, I'm very grateful because I have to. I really have to just. Yeah. I just needed to hear that.
Yeah, okay. Rudy Canoza and his partner, Steve. Thank you very much, Steve, for being with us. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, 877-876. Phil is our number, and our website is philhenryshow.com. This is the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. Next hour, we have with us Mr. Gandhi Sinclair from Haiti, and we'll talk about something we've been very interested in, and that is when the money gets to Haiti, then what? See, I've been hearing about, and you guys have heard us talking about how we need to raise money. We need this. And I heartily recommend that you not donate any more money to Haiti Relief until you find out exactly how the money is turned into the goods and services and supplies and medicines that they need, and then how it's eventually delivered to the people of Haiti. That's not a bad question to ask. I don't know about you, I'm real tired of hearing about how, oh, well, they ripped off this and they ripped off that. It's another, no. I don't give a damn how many people are dying, because the fact is they're going to croak anyway, no matter how much money I give, because there's somebody in the middle stealing it. So,
well, you just, why don't you wait till last hour?
Don't tell me how to do it.
Yeah, man, he knows what he's doing. Yeah, but you're spilling it all right now.
Don't, I feel very emotional about it. Do you mind?
Just get into the Gail Haggard thing.
I'm going to belt you.
Bill, I hit a retard.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, on account of the American Disability Act.
Oh, why don't you go and freaking get that oxygen tank out of here, okay, that I've been having to breathe out of. Now then,
you don't want to see that, man. It's bad for your image.
I ain't breathed out of that thing in a week and a half. I haven't either. People have been looking at our streaming video. Have you seen me taking oxygen? No. Have you seen me with a tube in my nose? No. Do I go upstairs and breathe it every night when I go to sleep? Yes. No, I don't. But to be honest with you, I might as well get into it. When I got back from the hospital, they brought with me, I brought with me one. Seriously, because I said to the doctor, I said, I got to get out of here, man. You got, oh, man, oh, baby, you got to get me out. You got to get me out, doc. And the doctor is looking at me, and they're, well, you know, Phil, I'm not going to let you go until this is an event. And as well they should. Doctors say, you know, you can want all you want, man, but we're not going to let you out until you're ready to be let out. Now, I could have gotten up and left anytime I wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can leave anytime you want on account it's not a concentration camp or anything about that, right?
Would you get that out of here like I said?
Sorry.
So anyway, the guy says, all right, we're going to let you go today, Phil, and everything's good. You know, your antibiotics kicking in, this, that. But we want to send you home with oxygen. I'm like, well, okay. Wow. So they wheel in a tank with a tube coming out of the nose. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you want something that'll make you feel like you're 100 years old, try sticking one of those plastic tubes with the oxygen in your nose and then dragging a tank behind you, walking down a corridor full of people, or maybe in a food court somewhere, or maybe on your way to a ball game. You know, all of a sudden, you're 57 going on 107. So I got into the car, we went home. Then the cat comes over to my house from the oxygen company with two more tanks, because this is what the doctors wanted. They wanted a machine that will turn regular air into oxygen. That's how bad off I was, man. I mean, I was sick, you know. So why am I on this topic?
I don't know, man. It started you talking about it. You shouldn't even talk about it.
Well, I might as well, because I told him to get the tank out of here. All right, I want to get on to something else. I want to get on to another disease. Yes, the disease of homosexuality. As you know, it can be cured. And Ted Haggard's wife says her man is cured of being a homosexual. Ted Haggard, now, he is the preacher that was caught, as I mentioned, with a male model, and I think they were involved in some kind of drug activity. Drugs, male model, you can well imagine oil was probably involved. I mean, certain things follow. Drug, male model, okay, so was there oil? Well, there was oil, And I don't know. Can we say that there were other men, pool parties? Yeah. Oh, male prostitute, not a model. Excuse me, I didn't mean to offend the male models. So in any event, Ted Haggard's wife is standing by her man no matter how many times he may have had homosexual affairs. Gail Haggard appeared on the Today Show on Wednesday to talk about her new book, Why I Stayed, The Choices I Made in My Darkest Hour, and declared that her one-time evangelical superstar husband was cured of his homosexual compulsions. Our sexuality is conditioned, and we can be conditioned in any number of ways, she told Meredith Vieira. Ted was dealing with certain compulsions that were unwanted. However, through therapy, she claims those compulsions, which she said Ted had suffered from most of his life, were gone. But that's not true for everybody, she added. That's his story. I don't know. So that's a very safe way of saying maybe some guys go back to being gay for the rest of their lives, and that's just where that's at. But Ted, he's good. He likes women, and he's been to the, I don't know what, to the gay camp where they pour hot fat on your exposed flesh until you scream and say, I'll never be a queer no more, and then you're good, see? So it's called aversion therapy.
Yeah, I'm talking about, in other words, torture.
Yeah, in other words, torture. No, I don't know if they do that. They do a lot of stuff that's, I've heard a lot of gay guys who've been in these camps because they really wanted to be straight, and they come out and they go back to being gay, and all we did was read Bible verse. It didn't help me. All I could think about was getting out of there. Now, Haggard admitted that her husband, who once led a church of nearly 14,000 worshipers, had a homosexual relationship early in their marriage. She said, I think at that point I was ignorant of the gravity. I felt as though, you know, we all struggle in different areas of our lives and certainly in our sexuality, so I was willing to forgive him. Well, how was she struggling?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Probably staying with this guy. Haggard said she might, she sought, Haggard said that he sought counseling then and told her it wouldn't happen again. I felt as though the problem was pretty much solved, she said, but it would reemerge in his life from time to time and he wouldn't tell me about it. Haggard also recounted the moment she learned there was some truth to the 2006 claims of drugs and gay sex that disgraced the religious leader who, at his height, reportedly consulted with President George W. Bush. And I hope that this is going to break us of, and this started really with Ronald Reagan, with all due respect, these superstar preachers who have access to the White House. I never liked it then, and I don't like it now. I don't mind people visiting. I just don't like it. Jerry Falwell used to hang out with Reagan. In fact, I think he had access at one point to the Pentagon or some crap. Where, you know, I'm watching, this is where the... You know, just keep these guys at arm's length. I don't know why I say this. Maybe it's because I don't think any good comes of it. Here's a guy here. He's talking with George Bush. Bush is down there at the farm right now, or the ranch or whatever he's at, saying, ah, man, are you telling me that guy's as queer? At, that's what I'm saying, Mr. President. Holy jeez! I felt shock, first of all, and then heartbreak. Once I discovered that there was some truth to the allegation, said poor Gail Haggard. I felt that my marriage was at a healthy place. Everything in my life felt healthy at that time. I felt healthy. He looked healthy. Everyone, you know, it was all real healthy. Even the guy he was seeing was healthy, or so I hoped. That was probably the happiest time of my life. So she thought that he was cured of being, you know,
a queer,
of being a homosexual. But little did she know. The couple was at their attorney's office the day after the shocking allegations first came to light. The prostitute, Mike Jones, claimed Ted had been a client of his for several years and had even bought drugs from him. I had gone to the bathroom and I'd gotten back and the attorney had told me to go into the office with Ted and he closed the door. I felt life draining from my body because things didn't feel right all of a sudden. When her husband confessed to her that there was some truth to the allegations, that happy image of life was shattered. I couldn't speak, Haggard said. I think I eventually uttered the words, who are you? And that's when he broke into a dance, which I didn't think was funny. And I told him, no, he didn't. She said, who are you? Because it was so far removed from the man that I knew, even though he'd go around town on a scooter. I knew I was going to have to make the choice early on as to what I was going to do, and I chose early on that I really do love this man, and I'm willing to fight with him for our marriage and our family. As a result, Haggard said her life has never been better. Our relationship is better than it's ever been. That's exactly what she said just before the other shoe dropped back there in 06, but okay.
Going over this mountain together is giving me the marriage I've always longed for, except next year I'll probably get another bombshell about him and somebody else having to do with Bangkok. I don't know, she said as she slammed the door of her Range Rover. So you feel sorry for these people. I'll tell you why. Because this guy is a homosexual, and he's not going to be, quote, cured of it. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to act, you know, I say act out. It doesn't mean that he will engage in any homosexual activity, but for the rest of her life, she's going to be with a man who is only half happy with his life because he'd rather be with guys, but he also loves her, and he loves the kids, and he wants to do the right thing by them, and he wants desperately to get back into preaching, you know. There's a really great, documentary on Ted Haggard that was done by, believe it or not, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, and I can't remember her name. She did it for HBO. She's done two, and it's terrific. It's terrific because the first one shows Haggard at the top of his popularity leading up to the revelations. The second one starts with his being ostracized by the church. He was thrown out of this church that he was in, right? And she starts off the movie by saying, so, Ted, the last time I saw you, you had all these friends. He goes, yeah. He says, where are your friends? Alexandra Pelosi, The Trials of Ted Haggard. I highly recommend it. You feel so sorry for this guy. You do. You feel so sorry for this guy. You cry because he's so self-deluded. He's not a bad guy. He doesn't come off as an evil man. He's just self-deluded, and she says she'd make that statement, where are all your friends? And, of course, you know, you talk about Christians. You know, at a time where this guy could probably use the fellowship of that church, he has been thrown out. So anyway, I just thought it was amazing. You know, one thing about Christianity, I shouldn't say that this is true of all Christianity, but the Christianity that so often we talk about in America, you know, lately I've been taken to watching white gospel clips on YouTube. I like the music. I like those white boys just singing that whole, oh, give me that old time. You know, I dig it. But one thing about the songs they sing, it's always about heaven. It's always about, I'm not going to be here long, and someday I'm going to be walking on those roads of gold. You know, or Jesus is building me a mansion, you know. It ain't nothing. There's one song about how, boy, I'm getting real itchy, man. I got to split off this planet, man, and get to heaven. It's all about, I got to get to heaven, got to get to heaven, got to get to heaven. If that's the focus, always, right? Of course you're going to take a guy like Ted Haggard and throw him in a gutter. You don't want to spend any more time with that queer than you have to, because you won't get to heaven, because that's the whole thing. All these tunes about, got to be, you know, got to get to heaven, got to, you know, I'm gold rolled, I'm going to do this, going to do that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, here it is. Now, I don't know if this is the song, Bud. Do you know which one?
No, I got a better one. This is way better, okay? Way better.
What do you mean, way better?
This is just a song that I think, because the other one stinks, but here's one that they sing so beautifully. Here it is.
All right, well, okay, The Prophets. And here's the song.
You can browse the web with it.
It is the... Get out of here with that. Now, where is it?
Right here.
What the hell is this?
This is really good.
What a wonderful world.
Will you get out of here with it?
That's the story.
Get out of here with that crap. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour's. Oh, my God.
You got a nosebleed.
Yeah, I think I do. We'll be back next hour. Gandhi Sinclair.
My whole life's dream.
Phil Henry. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Coming up next hour, we have Mr. Gandhi Sinclair. He is a Haitian businessman with the Haitian Business Conference, and we're going to talk about the relief efforts made on behalf of the Haitian people by people the world over, and just exactly how that money is turned into the things the folks in Haiti need, and is it getting to them? Because that should be of overriding importance to anybody who thinks they're concerned with the situation in Haiti. Because I just think it's about more than you know, giving right at this particular point. All right, here's a story out of Australia that is interesting, and I know why they did this, and some people may argue, the opposite point of view. But here it is. And by the way, I had the good fortune of actually being in the office of Matt Groening once, when who created The Simpsons, where he was showing me all the bootleg stuff. He collected it. So look at this. There's a bootleg thing from Mexico. Here's a bootleg thing. All these things that were created based upon his characters from The Simpsons that were illegal because they did not have the copyright protection of having been created by him. Nonetheless, an Ipswich, Australia man has admitted downloading graphic cartoon porn images featuring child characters from The Simpsons and the Powderpuff Girls. The 28-year-old is now a registered sex offender and will have to report to police after pleading guilty in Ipswich District Court to having the bizarre images on his computer. Now, this is Australia. This is not the United States. And I forgive me, but you know what? I don't even know what the law states in the United States when it comes to animated images, cartoon images of children having sex. I have to believe that there's something akin to what they have in Australia, but I don't know. The 28-year-old is now a registered sex offender. Police went to Kurt James Milner's Leichhardt home on January 28th in 2008, over a year ago, January 24th, after receiving an anonymous tip-off about the disturbing material. Milner told police he would cooperate but did not want to give them his computer. But an hour and a half later, he phoned police and said they could have his computer. They could now have his computer. So I guess the police were looking for a search warrant. They probably had to go back, get a judge, and meanwhile this guy's trying to clean his computer up. Well, guess what? Officers discovered the computer would no longer turn on. But a year later, police forensic experts recovered 64 images of cartoon child exploitation material in the machine's recycle bin. Man, them cops, they'll get anything they want out them computers, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference what you do with it. The cop's going to get it every day.
That's right. That's right.
How they do that, man? If you hit if you hit delete, how come?
Because it's still in there, man. It's still in there, Jack. You know, if you want to get rid of that stuff, you're going to have to take your hard drive apart, take whatever, just take all the parts of the thing, smash them with a steamroller, something, you know.
Well, why don't people do that?
Because the cops are there. What do you do? Take your, the cops are there, right?
That's, the guy should have done that.
Maybe he should have. He tried to disable it. Maybe he should have run out and hired a steamroller. I don't know. But he didn't do it, and they got it, and guess what? So they recovered 64 images, and these 64 images, which I, this is the part that I find interesting, of cartoon child exploitation material. The images depicted figures from The Simpsons, The Powderpuff Girls, and The Incredibles in sexually explicit positions. Milner, a former security guard, told police he downloaded the images to show them to his friend because he believed they were funny. He pled guilty to charges of possessing child exploitation material. So that's the law as it's written in Australia. It exploits children in a sexual way. So it is not actually an image of a real kid, but it is an image designed to exploit the existence of children for sexual imagery, for sexual exploitation. You understand?
No.
I'm not going to explain it.
Well, why not?
Because he doesn't have the time to explain to you, dumbass.
I don't get it.
Good, you don't get it. So anyway, Milner was sentenced to 12 months in jail, but it was wholly suspended for 5 years. The conviction was recorded. He was also given a $1,000 good behavior bond for 5 years. The Crown prosecutor said the sentence needed to be harsh, as it was Milner's second conviction for having child exploitation material. He was convicted of possessing child exploitation material in 2009. After 59 sexual images of actual youngsters were found on his computer. Although these offenses involve cartoon characters, it is nonetheless serious, especially since he has a prior conviction. So the way the law is written there in Australia, if you have a cartoon image of a child engaged in sex, then that is sexually exploitive of children, and that's where they get you. Now, like I said, I don't know what the law is here in the States. I just got a IM here from Jace. Well, I don't know whether that says it or not.
Right. If you have a cartoon porn of Bart and Lisa Simpson having sex, should it land you under the offender list, though? That's the whole thing.
Well, this jackball already had stuff of other kids, okay?
What if it was the only thing he had, a Bart Simpson nude? If you have, like, if you got Bart Simpson nude of the waist down.
If you have Bart Simpson what?
Nude from the waist down.
Bart Simpson nude from the waist down, what about it?
Do you deserve to be on a sex offender list or what?
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you something right now. If either one of you guys, let me put it to you this way. If I found out that either one of you guys had a picture of Bart Simpson nude from the waist down, I'd fire both of you, and I would also contact the police. You understand?
God, I mean, all we're asking about is the way that whether you would do it or not.
If I found out that either one of you guys had any of this stuff, you're fired and I'd call the cops. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
No, man, I'm just asking. You call that sexuality that a Bart Simpson ain't wearing no shorts?
Yeah, if he had no underwear.
Okay, you know what you heard what I just said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I just said. I'm not explaining anymore. If he had no underwear. The law in the United States seems to state that realistic image of cartoon child porn can be deemed illegal, but obvious cartoon depictions can be protected by the First Amendment. So our law here in the United States is slightly different. In Australia, they don't fool around with it. It's interesting. Parody cartoon sex is also protected, I assume, even if it's between two cartoon images of children. It's weird, man. All right, coming up, we've got Mr. Sinclair from Haiti on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. What about Bart Simpson?
Phil Henry.
No underwear.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Jim, well, look, congratulations for coming back.
We don't have a philosophic disagreement. If you agree...
But it makes a lot of sense, because after all, Mr. Obama cannot control the Iranians.
Andrew's parents, Walter and Judy Koenig, are in Vancouver helping police search for their son.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
Yay!
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. And on this program, truth is our bitch. Now, you know that we also like to play around with reality a little bit, if you don't mind us using that phrase. We take the news, the issues, we shove it through the looking glass, we do an Alice in Wonderland on it, and it comes out smelling like a rose, baby. So just stick around. Stick around, side. Give it a couple of weeks. You're going to figure this one out. And like we always like to say on this show, when we say you need a couple of weeks to figure this show out, we ain't kidding. You need a couple of weeks to figure this show out. All right, coming up, Canadian teachers perform a lap dance in front of their students. Now, it was a pep rally. And, of course, here in America, were you a teacher and you did a lap dance in front of your students, you'd be shot, as you know. You'd be shot right where you stand, right where you danced. But in Canada, they're a little, you know, they're on the back end of that stuff, so they're getting up to speed. And pole dancing, speaking of being shot at a pep rally while doing a bump and grind, pole dancing may become an Olympic sport. And a teenager is jailed for blackmailing male students into gay sex over at Facebook. Thank you.
Well, that was you, huh?
Yeah, thank you very much. No, actually, that is a weird story, and we're going to get into that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Phil, we're going to be bringing on the line here Vernon Dozier. He is a high school teacher from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He is also the school varsity football coach. He is also a member of the board there, the administrative board at Belmar Academy. This story about pole dancing being pushed to possibly be a competitive sport in the Olympics may be bizarre for some of us to hear. It certainly sounds strange to me, but nonetheless, I mean, if they've got things like synchronized swimming and that feather thing that they do, or whatever the hell that thing is, I suppose pole dancing is the next thing. I'm reading the story here, Vernon. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very good, Phil. Thank you for talking with me about this. It is unusual, but I can tell you that the nature of sport changes all the time. And the nature of competitive sports changes all the time. So I think we have to be ready and keep our minds open.
Now, here is a story. This is from AOL News. Pole dancing, the titillating mainstay of strip clubs throughout the globe, may one day be an Olympic sport, reports the New York Daily News. KT Coates, a pole dancer in England, and fellow advocates are circulating a petition for a test event at the Olympics and a more formal event in Rio de Janeiro. Currently, they have 4,000 signatures. Pole dancing is I know that they have pole dancing classes. I know it started among suburbanites as a way for, well, women to stay in shape. Some women said they got into it because it was a sort of an exciting addition to their the amorous life they shared with their husbands. Maybe it was something they did for boyfriends. But now we're talking about it as a competitive sport. Do you know precisely what makes this quote-unquote competitive?
Well, it's like, Phil, if you will, it would be like figure skating, or it could be like high diving or springboard diving. In other words, you get points for style. You get points for different moves. These would be required moves, and then you could score points for invented moves. I think that as an athletic coach, as a teacher, I have to, as I said, I've got to be prepared and make my students prepared for anything that is likely to is likely to come down the road in terms of what a student may be interested in, what might be required of them once they get to college. If, for instance, a sport like this if develops to a competitive level at the collegiate level, then it is incumbent upon us at the scholastic level, at the high school level, to prepare our students for that.
So are you offering pole dancing now in high school?
No, we're not offering pole dancing now. We have to go about this in a way that is going to be absolutely above board, because, you know, when you say pole dancing, the first thing you think about is, as you said in that story, is a strip club or something that's very unseemly, and that's not what this is about. If we have young women at the high school level who want to engage in a competitive aspect of this thing called pole dancing, then we have to make sure that it is completely above board, that it has absolutely no implication, no flavor of anything that would be wrong. So,
are you doing any kind of pole dancing at the school? From the standpoint of what you're talking about, where it's a very above board, and you're teaching these kids, I don't even, just the idea of pole dancing, it seems like it's not even appropriate for high school.
I don't like the name. I wish that we could call it something else. For now, it's called pole dancing. I suppose we could call it balance dancing. I think it requires a certain level of balance or equilibrium. I don't know. Stationary dancing, something like that. But we have to be completely above board. So we cannot have this on campus. We can't have, for instance, our female students coming into a gym or coming into a workout room where there is a pole and have a teacher such as myself or someone else sitting there grading them and watching them do a pole dance. You're not going to get people understanding exactly what it is you're doing. It's going to take a lot of explanation. So what we've done is we've engaged it off campus.
Where off campus?
We have the pole dancing classes on Saturdays and on Friday afternoons at my home. My wife is there. So both my wife and I actually are part of the coaching staff at the high school. My wife has been a part of the girls' volleyball team as well as the basketball team for 4 years, but now she's going to be helping me with the pole dancing classes. And so we have it off campus. We have it at my house. The girls...
Now, the girls, I take it, have their parents' permission?
Well, that is the part that we are working through. Yes, we do want the parents' permission, absolutely. It is difficult to say to a parent or to put into a piece of any kind of missive from the school, we'd like to get your permission that your daughter take pole dancing, because immediately they're going to say no without even understanding it. I just know parents, God bless them, they are the lifeblood of our school, but they are, many of them are very small-minded, and they don't get the big picture and the big world that's out there, and it's a big world. There's a lot of chances for people like myself, my wife, and our pole dancing students. So what I say to the girls, I say, look, let's do what we're going to try to do is 6 weeks of intensive preliminary pole dance initiation, and then send the girls out in groups of two every 2 weeks with letters to their parents saying, mom and dad, is it all right if I take this class off off campus at Arlene Dozier's house? It is a dance class. Yes or no?
Well, why you say Arlene is your wife?
That's correct.
Why not? You don't put your name down?
If I put my name down, then it says I want to take a dance class over at Arlene and Vernon Dozier's house. Now I look like, you know, forgive me, Phil, but as I said, a lot of these parents are very small-minded. Now they're going to think their daughter's dancing at my house. I'm a man, and there's something untoward about it. So I want to keep everything above board.
Yeah, but if you're not telling them, all right, so you want to make sure that the parents, you want to make sure that nothing, you can't be accused of anything strange because the sport itself is a little strange.
Absolutely, Phil. When you say we're teaching pole dancing, you're going to get a lot of people looking at you funny. If you say we're teaching pole dancing at my house on Friday afternoon and Saturday, they're going to look at you even funnier. And if you say that we're teaching pole dancing at my house on Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to ask the parents to give their permission, they're gonna try to lock you up and throw the key away, because the first thing they're going to say is, no parent is going to give permission for their daughter to go over to your house and learn how to pole dance. So what we have to do, Phil, is be very careful. We have to let the parents know this is a proposed Olympic sport, that my wife is going to be there, that the girls, there's a change room for them, that the pole itself is set up in a room that's, you know, my wife is in there. So in other words, it's we got to go at this very slowly, Phil.
Why even go through the hassle of having a pole dance class?
Well,
I mean, what's the, you know, right now it's just a proposal by a group of people in England. Why would you even want to go through the hassle of having a pole dance class with all of these things that you're facing, with the misunderstanding parents? You know?
Well, you know, it's a good question, but I feel that as a teacher I've got to push my students. The minute I saw that they were proposing pole dancing, I thought, this is very, very ingenious. This is... How can I get this into our high school without people thinking that, you know, we're sick, you know? But I said, I've got to see this. And so, and I didn't mean to say that I've got to see this. It's, you know, I want to see a bunch of high school girls do it. I just want to, you know, how would they do this?
All right, Vernon Dozier is joining us. We've known Vernon for a long time. He's the head football coach at Belmar Academy. They've won something like how many? They've won five divisional championships in varsity football there, and he has been the athletic director there as well as a member of the administrative board for a long time. And they are now getting a group of girls together to take a pole dancing class because it has been proposed that pole dancing be a part of the next Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. So his idea is to get these girls, to get them practicing pole dancing, but he hasn't told the parents yet, and the classes are being held at his house on Friday and Saturdays, and the girls are only gradually going to get parents' permission because the parents, in the words of Mr. Dozier, are a little close-minded and small-minded, and they won't understand the idea of pole dancing as an Olympic sport. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is wild, and if they ever do have pole dancing in the Olympics, I would love to see, like we were saying, how they're going to score it and what it's going to look like. 877-876-PHIL. More with Vernon Dozier next, plus your phone calls on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We are with Mr. Vernon Dozier, who is athletic director, varsity high school football coach at Belmar Academy, and one of a number of athletic directors across our country, interested in exploring the idea of pole dancing at the high school level because they are proposing it for the Olympics in 2012, which means, Vernon, that you not only have proficient professionals, right?
Well, That's correct, Phil. At the Olympic level, because they don't have the amateur, necessarily amateur, the prohibition against professionals. So that's a very highly developed level. And then you have the collegiate level. So if they have a collegiate level and they have obviously professional level, we owe it to our students and we owe it to our schools to begin to develop at some level in some way pole dancing.
So have you already started? Now you're conducting classes and you've been very clear. You're conducting classes with students, with girls, without their students' permission at your home, with your wife there.
Yeah, I want you to be very clear that with my wife is there. And the girls have a changing area that I'm not going back there and looking at them as they're taking their, taking their jeans off or anything. Now, we film, we actually videotape all of the sessions, and I was hopeful that we can sit down with the parents and show the parents the videotape of their daughters. We've got a number of girls that have got great extension. They've got great flexibility. Part of this is to get your extension and flexibility, and you can execute these moves. So we've got some girls.
How old are the girls in the pole dancing class?
Anywhere from 15 to 17. So we've got our sophomores. We don't allow. We do have a freshman class. We don't allow our freshmen.
Why not? Why not the freshmen?
We don't think they're old enough for it. It's a little adult. And it's got. I'm sure you understand. It's pole dancing is bespeaks something that is. A little immoral.
But you're taking very great pains.
No, but you're right about that. But I wouldn't feel right. Right now, I'm a little nervous about it. But anyway, they're 15 to 17 years of age, Phil.
All right, so they're 15 to 17 years of age. Now, you say that the kids enjoy it?
The kids enjoy it.
And what feedback, so the parents don't know, are any parents signing off on this?
Well, a couple of the parents that have been approached have been a little closed-minded, but that's the nature of parents. They tend to be closed-minded. They tend to be a little narrow-minded. I don't know if it's because they wish they were young again and they're not. They get a little sour, so we have to be very careful. One or two of the parents that we just sort of canvassed came across a little tight, as we used to say, tight ass. So we've got to go back and readdress that problem.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us here on pole dancing as an Olympic sport and pole dancing at the high school level as an athletic class. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Peter. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Peter with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on, Phil. Listen,
yes.
This is a very interesting topic. You know, you keep saying that you're nervous, Mr. Dozier, and you know, I could say that probably in the level of divisional championships for varsity high school football programs, you're probably pretty fantastic, but this probably is a level where you should really examine this. I mean, think about it. Why are parents maybe a little creeped out? I mean, the only thing that pole dancing is associated with...
I only said that I was nervous once. I only said I was nervous one time.
Well, it sounds to me like you sound a little nervous. You're having the kids go in twos, and you're not telling them that you're doing this program. You're doing it off campus. All these things should be red flags for you, and here's why I say so. The only thing that pole dancing...
Yeah, tell me why you say so.
Are you
a teacher?
One second. I'm actually a pastor, and so I'm speaking at it from the moral level that you keep alluding to. Yeah, let me allude to this here, why the moral level is important. We have kids that are having sex at age 14 and so on and so forth. We're having highest birth rates for kids that are before they're even 18, before they even out of high school.
Whoa. Where are you going, man? I'm talking about an athletic competition, and you're talking about pregnancy? You know, I think your mind needs to be looked at. You're indicting what I do, sir. You're indicting what I do.
You're indicting yourself, and let me speak about it here for a second, and I'll tell you why.
If you call yourself a pastor and you start talking about sex, I think you indict what you do as well.
All right, let's have a civil conversation here. Go ahead, Pastor.
Give me a second, mister. Thank you. I appreciate that. Here's my view, okay? You're discussing it from a moral level. All right. So here's the issue.
Go ahead. Give me your view. What's your view?
The only thing that pole dancing is associated with is the very perversion that you've been talking about, the unseemly sort of background that this so-called sport has is that
perversion. It's illegal. Men, people go into bars to what? I wouldn't call it perverted. It's an adult.
Then why
pursuit.
Is it that you're hiding it? Why are you hiding it from the parents? Why is it that you've got to do it off campus?
Well, I think I've answered that question because a lot of parents are closed-minded. They're very small.
Closed-minded to what? Their children being presented with this sort of information at a young age, and now you want to do it and call it an Olympic sport. I mean,
well, I don't know why, but you immediately call it perverted, and I would ask you, are you saying that the many women that engage in pole dancing as a recreation, they're perverted? Is that what you're saying? Because I think that's what you're doing.
As a recreation?
Are you saying that, that women use it as an exercise? And if you're not familiar with that, then I question whether you're a pastor or not. Women use it as an exercise. They use it as a way of relaxing, but you call them perverted.
Now, listen, I'm saying to you that the association, and you should catch this part, the association to the actual sport which you're alluding to.
You know something? You're a real smartass, aren't you? You're a real smartass, aren't you? I bet you hide behind that turnaround. You hide behind the turnaround caller?
I appreciate that.
Are you really? No, but you're laughing. You think you got it all over me.
You're associating.
Let me ask you something. Are you Jewish?
Okay, what's that supposed to mean?
I know. That
he's a pastor. He's a Christian pastor, so I guess that he wouldn't be.
Yeah,
He's coming on and asking me about perversion.
Let me just make my point, and then I'll get off the phone here, Phil, and let you continue this conversation.
Do you ever, you know what I'm saying? You guys have been indicted for this stuff, too, you know?
Vernon, you're very defensive. This gentleman is asking, you're very defensive. He's asking good questions. You know,
well, he's immediately calling it perverted.
I understand he's saying that it's perverted, but you, and he's right, you yourself alluded to a nervousness or a trepidation talking to the parents about this. Listen, we have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? This man, a college or high school teacher, is having pole dancing classes. 877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, that guy's a smart ass.
Phil, with me is Vernon Dozier. He's the high school football coach as well as athletic director at Belmar Academy. Pole dancing, you've heard of it, you've seen it. We've all seen it if we're men, I suppose, who've partaken of that kind of entertainment. But now women engage in a kind of recreational pole dancing. It's an exercise to the point now where they're proposing it, some, as an Olympic sport. And joining us is Vernon Dozier to talk about that because you have commenced pole dancing classes at the high school level. I recognize that you're sensitive to what parents may think. I recognize that you're sensitive to the ages of these girls. All right. That pastor that called from Nashville, though, you got on him.
I did get on him, Phil.
Well, why? Why did you jump all over him?
Oh, because he immediately started saying that there was a perverse. Let me tell you something about pole dancing as a competitive sport. Of course, there is a. Of course, it has a history of something that was done in clubs or bars, this kind of thing. Do I see these girls as sex objects? I have to. That's part of the judging. Okay.
Now you're a man in his 40s, and you're seeing a 15-year-old girl as a sex object.
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
Is that what you're saying?
Hold on for a minute. I have to because that's how they're judged on their dancing and their appearance. But I separate myself from it. I'm not going, yes, I do see them and what they need to do. Look, some of these girls, Phil, are in trouble. This is the only thing they've got. We've got girls that have troubled pasts. They've been in and out of continuation. Maybe, you know, they've been with boys and all of this. We've got one girl who I think has great potential, but she's not the smartest girl in the world. This is all she's got. She can dance. And she can dance well. And she, and again, I say this objectively, but I do see her as a sex object. But I see it objectively as a sex object. She's going to be good if she gets the right. And she's not smart. I've met her mother. Her mother is probably did the same kind of, well, not the same kind of work. Her mother probably worked in a place like that. But did you ever see the film Dangerous Minds, Phil, or Lean on Me? Or,
yeah, I saw those movies.
I really feel that I'm Morgan Freeman. I think that I'm Michelle Pfeiffer. I think I'm every teacher that ever took a child who was deeply troubled, especially these girls that, you know, a lot of their friends say you're nothing more than a slut. Well, guess what? We're going to make these girls into world-class competitive pole dancers. And I know that sounds stupid, but what else can they do? What else do they know how to do? And if you've met their parents, you'd ask the same question.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have, here is Philip in Palm Springs. Go ahead, sir.
Vernon, I got a couple things I got to say to you. You're barking up the wrong tree. I don't know where to start with you. You are completely going into something. You are going to get in so much trouble. I mean,
you got some experience with this? You got some experience at this? Because I've heard two people now tell me, hey, let me tell you how it is. I'm telling you that I've got a class that I'm teaching, okay? And
okay, well,
I don't know anybody.
Let the guy finish, okay?
Let him finish when he's going to start telling me how it is. He doesn't even know what I'm doing.
Go ahead.
Okay, especially, trying to get the girls with trouble past and all that. And, Vernon, I got a couple things I got to say to you, and that's, exactly...
Yeah,
where is your wife going to be, and where are you going to be when this is all going to be going on in your house, and what will the ladies be wearing? I mean, come on.
Well, I thought you had it all figured out. Now, why would you ask me a question like that? This is a class that we're getting. You know, Mr. Hendry, I would expect that mothers would call, but there's no women calling. You want to know why? Because they know that what I'm saying is absolutely solid gold. It's only these fathers who've got suspect thoughts anyway. And
well, I don't know where you get off saying that.
Well, I mean, these guys who are calling up and saying things like, as well as I do what's going to be going on. Well, no, I don't. Maybe you can tell me, I'm going to be in my home with my wife. The girls are going to be changing in another area. We're going to film it. And when the time comes for me to... When the time comes,
what's wrong?
Because of now I'm we have probably 100 hours of these girls pole dancing, and I have told them that they can have this videotape and they can share it with their parents or not. And I was feeling a little nostalgic. That's all.
Why?
Because I'm going to be giving the tape back to them.
And you want to hold on to it. See, that's the problem that a lot of people...
No, I don't want to hold on to it.
Well, that's the problem that a lot of people are having. There are questions here. Do you understand? There are questions.
No, the questions would be fine if the people didn't supply the answers. Okay? I said, some of the girls have got shady pasts. This is the only thing they know how to do. Why can't we get them started?
Well, what are you doing, man? Are you training them to be pole dancers in a nightclub or in the Olympics? Which is it? That's what a lot of these people are asking. It sounds like when you say there's a girl with a troubled past and you ought to meet her mother, she ain't that bright, and she probably was in the same kind of work and so on and so forth. And then you say you're looking at the girls as a sex object.
No, I said that I have to because that's how they're going to be viewed by the judges. See, one of the things that you have, the problem here, Phil, nobody knows what it is I'm talking about because they have no experience with it. This is a whole new thing. Now, I've got over 100 hours of 15-year-old girls pole dancing. Does that make me sound like a pervert? Yes, it does.
Of course it does.
Okay, I understand that. But when I say that I'm a teacher in a school conducting a pole dancing class, now you start to think, well, wait a minute.
Well, you're doing this without the parents' permission or knowledge. You're doing it in your home.
And my wife is there. Would you mind including that, please? My wife is there.
All right, you're doing it in your home, and your wife is there. And, oh, yeah, one more thing. You've got 100 hours of 15-year-old girls pole dancing that you're going to feel really, really bad giving up to them someday.
I said I got nostalgic. That's all I said.
that you know, well, okay, but you made no... The inference is you're going to miss watching those tapes. Here is Rich in Providence, Rhode Island. Rich, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How's it going?
Yes, sir.
This is absolutely absurd. I can't believe what I'm actually listening to. You know, you're saying you're viewing these girls as sex objects?
Hey, Have you got kids?
How can you even say that? First of all, have you got kids?
Hold on, Vernon.
I'm asking this man a question. I want to know. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he doesn't even know anything about kids.
Listen, it's beside the point where you know anything about kids. He doesn't have any kids. First of all, you're viewing these kids as sex objects, okay? And why? First of all, even if this elliptic supposedly why do you view them as sex objects? Why wouldn't you view them on their technique and how they dance, not as sex objects? That's absolutely absurd. You're setting yourself up for failure, dude. You have no clue what you're in for.
I can't hear what this guy's saying. He's not listening to me.
Well, what do you want to say?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't even know what he's talking about. I asked him if he has kids, and he's not. You got no cause to talk.
Why doesn't he have cause to talk?
Because he doesn't know what it is to have kids. Why would he even be interested in this? You want to know why?
Because he wishes he was me.
That's why.
Because listen, it's people like you. You wish you were me. Wait. Who corrupt our kids? It's people like you in this world who corrupt
our kids. You don't have kids. That's what I mean. I have nephews. I have nieces.
Do they let you hear them? Just because.
Okay, look at Vernon. You know, just because people are questioning what you're doing, you're accusing them of being perverts.
I said, do they let him near his nephews and nieces?
That's not a question to ask.
Absolutely. I love my nephews and nieces.
The whole thing's a joke to him. He doesn't care whether kids get molested or not. The whole thing's a joke to him.
You're telling me, and you're laughing about it. You just finished saying that you're viewing these kids as sex objects. How does that make yourself look? Tell me that one. How does it make yourself look? And why, if this is so innocent, why can't the parents know? Why do you say he's jealous?
Because he's just too excited. He's not angry so much as he's excited. It sounds like something he'd like to try.
I'm upset.
You could care less. You don't have any kids. You don't care about whether these kids get molested. You're just some jive ass on a radio.
You know, it's people like you.
You know what, Vernon? You're not giving people any respect. You're not listening to what people are asking. You're judging them.
Well, they're judging me.
You're in a house with kids pole dancing with your wife.
They're not pole dancing with my wife.
You are watching them with your wife pole dancing. Okay, and even though it may be for the Olympics or whatever it's for, you're saying things like, well, I got to view them as a sex object, and I got 100 hours of tape of 15-year-olds pole dancing, and I'm going to miss seeing those tapes. That's something else you said.
If anything, you should view them on their technique and dancing skills,
not as sex objects. Then let's have you over, and you can help us out with that. How about that?
No, not at all.
You know, you're really defensive.
Why wouldn't I be defensive? Let me tell you something.
People like you who give our country a bad name. And it's a shame
that there are people like you out there.
I live in this world, sir.
I thought you said country. I thought you said country. Now you're talking about the world.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. One's a world and one's a country. There's a big difference.
Now, here's the point
that I want to make. There was a father that walked up to me, and I said to him, your daughter is one of the best dancers I've got. And I made the comment that she can put her ankles near her ears. And I was assaulted. I wound up in a hot...
You said what to a father?
Oh, my God.
I said that his daughter had great technique. Oh, listen to this. Oh, my God. See, this guy...
No. Forget about the caller. I want to know what it is you said. You said to the father what?
I said it was this girl, Catherine. I said she puts her ankles behind her ears. I was assaulted. I was in a coma for a day.
Of course you were assaulted.
What? Oh, here goes the laugh again from this guy.
Of course you'd be assaulted. At least I'm listening, sir.
Well, why would I be assaulted for saying something like that? I said...
You say to a father that you put the ankles, she puts her ankles...
No, I didn't say that he did. I said his daughter did.
I know that.
And I blacked out. And it turned out that I didn't black out because I fainted. I blacked out because he knocked me out.
Well, you're going to be blacking out a bunch more times because these parents aren't going to go for this at all. At all. I mean, I can understand if it was adults, but kids in high school? Let's be serious.
I identified what's bothering me. I identified what's bothering me, Rich. This is what bothers me about you. You go,
in high school?
Oh, you've got a...
Whatever. Listen, you want to make
you know something?
Talk,
you know, yeah. You want to mock people, Mr. Dozier, but you're doing something that's scaring me now. When you say to a father, "Oh boy, your daughter's a great dancer. Her ankle's right by her ears," and this man hits you.
Yeah, I was assaulted. And I was in a coma for a day, and that guy's walking the streets.
I'm not surprised.
Oh my God! So you say that that's okay? You say it's all
and
right.
You're saying it's okay to view these children as sex objects. That's okay.
Right.
That's okay, son.
They're gonna be looked at as sex objects when
ridiculous.
They get to the Olympics.
You sound ridiculous. You sound ridiculous, and you're setting yourself up for failure once again. So that's all.
I have to agree, Vernon.
Boy, thanks a lot, Mr. Andrew, for taking my side.
I'm not here to take your side. I'm here to listen to the facts and decide on my own. Let's go to Betty in Houston. Betty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, please.
I have children. I have 6 children, 22 grandchildren, and 27 great-grandchildren, and I think it's ridiculous what he's doing. And he's supposed to be a teacher? What the heck is he actually teaching them? So
where
that they
were,
can go out and get a job afterwards?
Can I ask you, what boatyard were you christened at?
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just kidding around. Ma'am,
that's supposed
to
mean
to
that
is...
I think that's just entertainment for you.
What's
it's
that?
Not,
the fact that I'm trying to get
I'm trying to get our
young
you
women
go
ready
and
for
tell the parents. You're afraid that some father's gonna deck you.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
You were in a coma because somebody did.
Your
well, you could almost expect that because if it was one of my sons, I have 4 sons, and if it was one of my sons and their daughter going to your house, and then you're not telling them why they're there, that they definitely would deck you.
Look, Ms. White, I'm sorry that Alan Ludden died. I thought you were good. And
what is that, some kind of a smart-ass thing?
Well, this lady's telling me stuff. All I'm trying to do is get our young ladies ready for the Olympics, and Betty White here is reading me the riot act.
Because...
Listen, haven't they called you back from lunch yet? Don't you have a scene to shoot this afternoon in the Golden Girls?
All of the things
that I've done for these young ladies is to make them better women so that when they get up on a stage and they pole dance, because that's all they're good for. And
well, what does that mean? See, this is what I mean. This is the kind of degrading thing that you talk about.
No, look, are you trying to tell me that these young women who pole dance are good for anything else? Of course not. Now, the reason why I look at them, Betty, is because someday they're going to need breast jobs. Who's going to tell them?
Why?
Who's going to tell them?
Saying they're not good for anything else. Why don't you find a teacher that's going to teach them more, and then they would know more? Not
the
some teacher that's going to teach them some perverted thing.
The only thing these girls know how to do is pole dance. Now, let's not pretend you haven't seen a pole.
That's in your thought. That's all they know how to do.
Look, let's be honest. When the last time you saw a pole, what, 20, 30 years ago?
Pole dancer.
I believe that. And
okay, you getting your cookies here, being smart with this lady?
Mr. Hendry, I came on your program to tell you, did you ever see the movie Lean on Me, Betty? Well, I'm Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yes,
how about
sure
that?
You are.
Well, that hurts. That hurts me, and it hurts everyone who takes my side in this debate.
I happen to like Morgan Freeman's movies, and I don't
and
think
I
you're
do.
Him.
I, you don't think I'm Morgan Freeman.
Very much for your call. 877-876 Phil. Boy, I cannot, you know what, I'm not, don't let him back on the air yet. 877-876-PHIL, it's a Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah!
I said...
I busted off a hold.
Get him back on hold, will you? I don't want to talk to that guy right now before we come out of the break. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Betty White.
I want an autograph.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, you know, this started with this article here on pole dancing in the Olympics.
Well, I think, Mr. Hendry, that's why I agreed to come on your program to talk about that.
I know that, but in preparing young women for a pole dancing exhibition in the Olympics, which may or may not take place, and I don't even know if it's going to be competitive. They usually have it as an exhibition sport, and then in 4 years they have it as an actual competitive event.
I understand that.
All right, but when you have 15 to 17-year-old girls taking a pole dancing class at your house, you're videotaping it. You admitted that you're looking at them as sex objects because that's how they're going to be viewed. You say that some of these girls have got no future. They come from troubled pasts. You pretty much as much say that they are candidates for being strippers, you know, and like they're human refuse.
No. That's where that preacher and that other guy, I forget who, both of those guys ganged up on me. And it was like a tag team, those two, saying that I'm a pervert, and then the other guy saying that it was basically saying I was a pervert too. That's what I resent.
Well, you when you say that you're looking at these girls and you got 100 hours of videotape of a 15-year-old pole dancing that you're going to really miss, people are going to be talking like that. Here is Lisa in New York on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Lisa. You're on with Mr. Vernon Dozier.
Okay, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Basically, I really, really am upset and disgusted as to what this so-called teacher is saying, because I'm a parent myself, and if it's so innocent and what you're doing, why are you not letting the parents know? And if it's not anything that's sick and perverted, why can't you tell the parents? And also, if you're such a great teacher and you're teaching them to do something, why not teach them? Why not educate them? Why not give them a book? Why not take them to the library? Why not take them to the museum? Teach them about
because a lot of these girls, you know, it's too late. They're going to wind up. This is a skill.
How do you know that?
What do you mean too late?
Know these people. Like,
15-year-old girls.
They're 15-year-old girls, and you don't even know what they're capable of doing.
Well, you know
something right now. How do I know? I have a 13-year-old daughter. That's how I know.
Well, do you know?
I know people that have dance instructors.
Yeah, but you know the clubs I'm talking about.
No, but they were
the tip money is fantastic. The tip money's great.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
A Democratic state representative from Manchester is under fire for apparently posting a comment on Facebook.
These very localized events become global counterterrorism.
Well, Bill, I understand your frustration. We open up our phone lines with categories.
It's the Jews, stupid.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what in the heck it's talking about. This is where truth is our bitch on this show, and we take you through the looking glass of talk radio. This is the world-famous, not-to-be-duplicated Phil Hendry Show. It's a talk show that other talk show hosts listen to, as a matter of fact. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our website, newly revamped, newly redesigned, with all of the archives and soon to have the full show logs, and we're very excited about our website with all that it has to offer. We've got our backstage pass fact, and I don't know, we had a lot of emails. We got everybody taken care of. So go over to the website tonight, look at our live streaming video and audio, check out the archives. If you don't have a backstage pass, get one. You cannot hope to understand or be a part of this radio show unless you do have a backstage pass. And this is the only backstage pass to a radio show, the only real subscription to any radio show you'll ever have that's fully worth it. And do I mean that? Oh, yes, I do. Oh, wow, do I ever. You can get some kind of a subscription to a radio station, to a radio show website that basically has coffee mugs to sell you, and little five-minute podcasts, and then a whole bunch of articles that somebody else wrote, right? Our show, our website is about radio, and we have full shows, full video casts, archives up the wazoo, Jack. All right, tonight on the show, Facebook, there was a status update on Facebook that landed a local New Hampshire politician in hot water. A man tells C-SPAN they take too many black callers. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight on Fresno, KJZN, Fresno, California, 105.5, Yakima, Washington, KBBO. Where's our big city? I'll tell you where it is, Detroit. And Detroit, Michigan is coming online with us. WDTW, 1310 AM, Detroit with us in early April. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk about junk food this hour with a guy that I don't know, Bob Green, who is our... he's really all things having to do with consumer-related items, things having to do with food. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. According to this article from a local TV station here, Bob, in Los Angeles, if you feel like you're addicted to junk food, you may be right. A new study finds that junk food can be as addictive as cocaine. Junk food can be as addictive as cocaine. You believe that?
Oh, absolutely, we do believe it. And the way that we lay out our store and the way that we deal with our customers, the consumers, the things that we have on our checkout stand displays as well as in our aisles reflects that.
Now, in this article, it says the researchers say the theory is based on a study involving rats. It was published in the Journal of Nature Neuroscience. Although they can't be directly applied to human obesity, researchers say it may help understand the condition and lead to ways to treat it. The study found that overconsumption of high-calorie food can trigger addiction-like responses in the brain, and that high-calorie food can turn rats into compulsive eaters in a laboratory setting.
Well, you know, Bill, I have seen it with my own eyes. You can buy a child, we often saw in our store, you can buy a child a bag of these Skittles, or you can buy them one of these Reese's peanut butter cups or these Reese's pieces, and you can see the way a young child, tears into that food without even thinking, and will continue to eat in a very, very compulsive way for a very, very long time. And this goes without saying. My own son has a weight problem, and as a result of the weight problem my son has, it has affected his adult life to the point now where he has had a difficult time with mobility, a difficult time getting out.
Does he live with you?
He does live with me, yes. My adult son, who is 24 years of age. And that's why we have the picture of Bob Jr. In the store. I keep a copy of his picture with me. And we have a copy of the picture of my son at the checkout stands for the checkers to use.
Now tell me about this, because in your store you have candy at the display aisles, right?
Well, these are the checkout displays, yes.
The checkout displays, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there is candy there. That's where we have agreed to carry many of the big-name brands, whether it's Mars or Hershey or some of the smaller companies. But we don't allow young people to buy it, and by that I mean under the age of 18, and we have been known at times to actually ask for identification. We also do not let parents buy it if we think it's going to be eaten by a child. The compulsive child who runs up to the checkout stand and sees the candy and grabs it and puts it on the belt, that's the child that we really have to be aware of. I think all parents need to be aware of that child. He is the one, and we've all seen him, Phil, where he runs over to the candy rack, he looks at all the candy, he grabs the biggest, brightest package of the biggest candy bar or whatever, and puts it there on the belt. And that's when we have to come out from behind the stand and take it very politely and put it back.
So you're not selling candy to children?
We are not selling candy to children. We won't allow it. And that's why this is where the picture of my son, Bob Jr., comes in, where we have this picture, and I will take it and I will show it to the children. And I will say, do you want to look like this? If we get any kind of an argument from the parents. Generally what happens is the child will go over to his parent after I've taken the candy off the belt and put it back. The parent will come over and say, why did you do that? And I'll say, because this is what your child is going to look like.
So you have a picture of your own son. How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I've got a son that is that size, who, had I been a little bit more, had I been stricter with the way he made his food choices, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in right now. Sitting at my home, eating my food, obviously, with no job. So we have been the first of what I hope will be a great many stores to do this. Ultimately, Phil, what we're looking for is an absolute ban on the selling of candy to children, period.
All right, now you're talking right there about a ban on selling candy to children. You're talking about companies making a lot of money on Easter, on Halloween,
I understand that.
On Valentine's Day, and if you say you're not going to sell candy to children...
Well, we're not going to sell it directly to children. If parents are going to come in and buy it and take it home, and I'm not saying make it illegal. I just don't want to see a child buy candy in my store, and I have personal reasons for that, obviously. When I see a child buying candy, my thoughts go to my own son, Robert, and I think of how much weight he put on. And I, very unfairly, I project that onto the child that's buying the candy. I see that child as my son, Robert, and the bad shape that he's gotten himself into, and the fact that he is unemployed. And so it takes a little bit of control on my part not to get, I have to say, so angry when I take that candy out of that kid's hand and put it back. And I've had some confrontations with the parents. Who thought I was very rough with the child. But we're trying to save a generation, Phil, a generation of kids that are going to grow up to look like my son.
Tell me, if you could, how much does your son weigh?
He's 320 pounds. He is almost morbidly obese.
And how tall?
6'2".
And he doesn't have any kind of shine. I mean, there's offensive linemen, obviously, in the National Football League that are that size, but...
No, there's no muscle tone. This is obesity. And he's tall. His mother was tall. I am not. I'm 5'8", 5'9". He's much taller than me and much bigger than me. And I see him in every kid that comes up to the candy and wants to buy some. I see my son. And it's not a pleasant thought. I get angry. So, no, we won't sell candy to children. And we would like to see a prohibition on the sale of candy to children throughout the country. At least in stores. So if you want to buy candy for your child and take it home, and you want to watch your child turn into something that the rest of society is going to have to take care of...
Well, are you, Bob, you know, the rest of society is going to have to take care of... You're taking care of your son.
Well, these kids eating all of this candy...
No, I know that. The study says here that junk food is as addictive as cocaine. So a child going up to the checkout stand and buying all this candy... You're saying eventually leads to more compulsive buying.
Well, if you allow a child to buy it, if you allow only the adult to buy the candy, there might be some self-control there. There might be some restraint. But even when we see adults buy it, we will not sell candy to any adult that is accompanied by a child. We will not sell candy directly to a child.
So what do you do when the candy goes on the belt, on that conveyor belt? What do you do?
We have instructed our checkers, you go out from behind the register, you pick the candy up and you put it back in the stand. If they take it from the stand and put it back in the belt, you walk around, you pick it up, and you keep doing that until they get the message you're not selling it to them, either with a child or with an adult with a child. And if they continue, then I bring the picture of my son, and I'll put it right in their face, and I'll say, do you see this pig? And I feel there's nothing that breaks my heart more than to call my own son a pig. But I will say to these adults, do you see this pig? Because that's what that kid you're with. And I'll point to the child, and I forgive me for using this kind of harsh language, but I'll say, that's what that's going to look like.
That's what that's going to look like?
That's what the child is going to look like. And 99.9% of the time we shake hands, and they realize it's been a big misunderstanding, and they are happy not to buy that candy for their child so it doesn't turn into this thing that I've got a picture of, which is my son, and I love him very much.
Robert Green with us. He has taken the step that some other stores are taking. He refuses now to sell candy to children. He also refuses to sell candy to any adult that is accompanied by a child. And he is calling for the prohibition of the sale of candy to children nationally because recent studies show candy, sugar, junk food sugar, is as addictive as cocaine. All right, let's get into this because when you talk about prohibiting anything, man, it's a very, very, you know, it's a big, big, it's a tough road to hoe. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And certainly having some kind of a, you know, carding kids for candy and taking it out of their hands and taking it out of the hands of the parents, this is a pretty aggressive policy there at his stores throughout the Southwest, Fraser Foods. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Forget, tell your local station you want the Phil Hendry Show live. You want it live, baby. You tell your local station you bother them with phone calls, you bother them with emails, you bother them with regular mail until they finally get the message. You want the Phil Hendry Show live on your local station. All right, 877-876-PHIL. With us is Robert Green from Fraser Foods, the CEO there of one of the larger grocery chains of the Southeast. The study released today saying that junk food, especially candy, is as addictive as cocaine, has led Bob and some other stores across the country to prohibit the sale of candy to children, directly to children, or any adult with children. And you have used your own son, who is, you say, morbidly obese, as an example to these parents.
Well, I have, Phil. I've had my own son come into the store. I've had Robert come in and sit on a stool between a number four and number five checkout stands for a good part of the day. And we will have a sign that he will either hang around his neck or we put it up near the candy stand that says, if you allow your children to continue to go over to this candy rack, this is what they're going to look like. And this is my own son. And this is a very...
That's got to be painful for you and for him.
It's painful for both of us, but I got no choice. I made a big mistake as a father, and now my son is morbidly obese, and I let these parents know, take a good long look, because as long as your child is bothering me and my checkers with candy that they should not be buying, unabated, they're going to wind up looking just like this. And we got an arrow, and we used two different signs on either side of the checker pointing to him.
877-876-PHIL. You're taking candy out of the kids' hands, too, aren't you?
Yeah, we go right up to the tray. If the child is at the candy stand the candy rack, and they're going to put the candy there, we will take it out of their hand. If we are behind the check stand, we'll go and take it off the belt and put it back. A lot of these children get upset, and that's not anything for us to get worried about because they're children. And I'm not really concerned with how they feel. I am concerned with how the parents feel. But I'm not going to allow the parents to buy candy for a kid that I already said no to. And of course, that's the other issue.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. Daniel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Hey, Phil. Just want, you know, I love the
yes,
show,
sir.
And I like coming home at night and watching and listening to it. I mean, I don't know who he is and who he really thinks he is. I mean, you cannot do this. I mean, candy to children is just something that goes apart with growing up. And, I mean, to not...
Maybe so does smoking cigarettes. Maybe taking heroin. But no, your kid get fat just so the rest of society can pay for it.
No, I do.
Good point. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Kathy. Kathy in Ashland, Kentucky. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I was listening to the discussion about the candy police, and I just think that's totally
candy,
wrong.
I haven't heard that one before.
The candy police. sounds pretty apt, though.
I think one of the biggest problems with kids today, and the reason that they are so much more obese than they were a few years ago, is
the constant use of computers, the constant use of video games. Kids used to get outside and be active, ride bikes, play games and so forth, and now they've just kind of, you know, dumbed down to just using their fingers, you know, and the rest of their body doesn't even get exercise.
That's nice. That has nothing to do, though, with what we're talking about.
Well, what she's saying...
No, I know what she's saying, but it's irrelevant. We're talking about junk food being as addictive as heroin, to the point where these children are going to keep packing these calories in, and it doesn't really matter. You know that no kid is going to be out there running 3 miles a day.
No, the kids did used to go outside, and, you know, I think parents...
Well, that's fine. I mean, I can't go into your home and make your kid run, but what I can do is keep your kid from coming into my store and buying this food that is going to turn him into my son. My own son, my flesh and blood, which is over 300 pounds.
Okay, and I
got to be honest with you. I can't even refer to my son as him so much as I refer to him as it.
And well, that's demeaning to him,
and
though,
you know,
and it's demeaning to you.
That's a comment that I wanted to make also. And, you know, if I were your son and I was hearing you on the radio calling him a pig and an it because he has a weight problem, that would be extremely upsetting to me to think you have no more respect for me than that. I mean, that would terribly upset me.
I hear you.
I don't think that's wrong.
Well, I hear you, ma'am. I know how you feel. I'm out of options, though. He, because of this unrestrained eating of this garbage that I sell in my store, I still sell it in my store, because of that, he turned into this thing. Now,
and
I love him. He's my son.
Calling your child an object?
If someone already has
a weight problem, and then you insult them on top of that, the only thing that's going to do is cause them to feel guilt, cause them to feel depression, and that's going to make the drive to eat the junk food even more. They need support.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I mean, it's neurotic, right, Kathy, is what you're saying. It becomes a neurotic thing.
From your own parent. I mean, if your parents are going to do that to you, where do you have to go?
Ma'am, forgive me, but you and Mr. Hendry are giving these fat pigs an excuse to look like the way they do. Now, my son is a pig, but I love him. My son will always be, until he loses the weight, he's always going to be just a slug, but I love him.
If you can call him names like that, I question that.
No, excuse me, ma'am, but I love my son enough to put him on display in front of people and to say,
and
you
make
want
him
your
an
kid to look like that?
And make him an
what
embarrassment.
What does that do to... Does he go home and eat more?
I don't know what he does. I tell him, to, as soon as his shift ends, I say, get out of here. I don't know where he goes or what he does.
Well, Bob, there's money that says he goes home and eats more, or goes someplace where you won't see him and eats more because of what you put him through.
Exactly.
And I say you and that lady are exhibiting the kind of liberal political point of view that has caused this problem.
All right, Kathy, thank you so much for your call. We'll be back with Bob Green, not selling candy to kids. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
It's Robert Green. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. They're headquartered in Buena Park. We're talking about his prohibition, along with other grocers, of selling candy to children. That is junk food at the checkout stand, these Skittles, these M&Ms, no more sales to them, as well as no more sales to adults who are accompanied by children. So you're not going to sell them candy. And you even have your own son. I want to get into the topic of your son here, if I could.
I didn't want to come on. I don't want to humiliate my son, but you asked me about my son.
Well, you don't want to humiliate your son, Bob. I understand that. But you're having him sit between checkout stands with a sign around his neck.
That is correct, yes.
And you say you love your son.
I love my son more than anything. He is my life. But now I have to save his life, and this is the only way to save his life. And I'm trying to keep the parents out there listening to me tonight who have children that run over to that candy at the checkout stand. They run over to that display. They take the candy. They put it on the belt. The parents don't do anything about it. You might as well take a copy of the photograph of my son that I have. Take a copy for yourself and put it up in your bedroom or put it up in your... Because you're looking at your own kid. That's what it's going to look like if that's what you're going to do. And bringing my son down to the store on Saturdays to sit for a couple of hours or with a sign around his neck that says, this is what it'll look like. I don't think it's going to...
The use of this neutral term, it.
There comes a time when your child has put on so much weight, you have to drive the message home to them. They have ceased. They are an object of curiosity.
Well, to me, it sounds like a freak show.
Mr. Henry, my son is not the Elephant Man, all right? I hear a lot of people thinking that I'm putting him on display like he's... If you ever saw this movie...
Yeah, I saw the Elephant Man, and it sounds a little bit like that, like you would put your son on display. I know that you're not trying to collect money because he's a freak. I think you're trying to illustrate something, but how do people know the difference?
I'm not standing there and going, I want my man back, you know, as Anthony Hopkins in that movie. Cause I saw the movie where that guy's head was... I don't know if you saw the movie.
Yes, I saw the movie, and I read about John Merrick. It's a horribly sad tale, which fortunately has some kind of a happy ending.
What happy ending? On the Elephant Man?
I'm not here to talk about that, though, Bob.
No, but I'm just curious.
The story of the Elephant Man had a relatively happy ending. He became... he lived at the hospital. He got to know the Queen of England.
You call... Well, oh, no, I thought you said they cured him or something.
No, they're not going to... They can't cure him.
Well, to me, that's the only happy... If you got a head the size of that, I don't understand. But the point that I'm saying here...
Get off the Elephant Man here for a minute. We're talking about your son being on display.
On display... So somebody else's kid doesn't turn into that.
877-876-PHIL, the Phil Henry Show. Let's move on to another call here. Felicia in San Antonio. You're on with Robert Green. Felicia, hello.
Hi. I need to
yes,
tell
ma'am.
This man. Has he thought about how he is going to endanger his employees? Today's folks don't play. Over a bag of candy, someone can get so upset and come just blow someone away for a bag of candy.
Wait,
I mean, those are your
robbery.
Employees. Those are your employees. How dare you? Now you want
to armed robbery?
I'm not going
to. There's a cop. We'll call a cop if somebody pulls a gun. What would you do?
Well, we ain't got time to be calling no police today, sir. You need to take care of this matter in a different way. You need help, and you're using your time.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me
your son to defend something that you permitted him to do when he was young? You know, you're out of your scope.
I did, but I don't anymore. I don't anymore. I've got to use him for whatever good he can do.
Think of your
employees. No, he's too large.
A child protective service got to come and take that child from you. He needs protection now from you. Have a good evening.
He's 24, ma'am. What do you mean, child protective services? And to answer the lady's point, Phil, what? They got to pay for the candy bar first. If I don't let them have that candy bar, I've just saved them money.
All right, 8778, that's true, but I think what the lady is saying, taking candy out of a child's hand.
And someone's going to pull a gun on me? You know what, Phil, I will only respond by saying this. People can do whatever they want to do, but anybody that pulls a gun on me better be fast.
Well.
They better be quick. Better be real quick. Because I am 5'9", but I have very quick moves. Now, my son's mother was taller than me. I'll go ahead and admit that. She was 5'10", and she was the size of him. Does this give you an idea? Because, see, people are blaming me that I let him eat junk food.
You said that you let him eat junk food. Now you're blaming it on heredity?
No, I'm saying it was junk food, but his mother was pretty big. I mean, pretty big. For a woman, real big.
I don't know what that means.
She was huge. And I'm not...
Was she overweight? Bob, was she overweight?
I wouldn't say she was overweight. She was just huge.
So was it genetics or was it the fact the kid eats?
The kid ate, but his mother was big.
877-876-PHIL. I think that what the lady said, though, about the people having candy taken from their kids' hands, she made a good point. Mark in Berkeley, California, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark, go ahead.
Good evening. How are you?
Yes, sir. Fine.
I think it's very commendable what the gentleman is doing, having concern for other people's children. But listen.
Thank you very much.
One thing I have yet to hear him say is to blame himself for what occurred to his son, because see, he had the ability to see it happening. You know, he saw this happening.
That is true.
It wasn't something that just happened overnight. So, I've yet to hear him talk about himself or blame himself throughout this whole show. He wants to give his son a label. He wants to berate him, but he should really berate himself also.
Well, I think it's a good point, but his mother was constantly enabling this behavior. She, as I said,
Somebody was there in authority that saw this happening. You cannot tell me this. This whole show wouldn't be happening if whoever was in charge was doing their job. That's my opinion.
Well, you're going to have to go talk to my wife. She's huge, you know.
Are you blaming your wife? Or are you I heard you earlier, Bob, say that it was your fault.
Yes, it was my fault insofar as I was also the boy's son. And I'm doing what I can now by having him come to work at the store.
What does he do at the store?
I told you what he does at the store.
That's what you call having him come to work at the store? He sits on a stool with a sign around his neck?
Mr. Hendry, when you're 320 pounds, what, are you telling me I'm going to have to stock shelves or make a run for the, for the top ramen noodles? I've got him sitting on a stool, with a sign that says, this is what it's going to look like if you let it eat the kind of food that I let it eat. Now, having said that, wherever his mother is, and God knows where that is, she's to blame too.
Wherever his mother is. All right, Mark, thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Timothy in Tucson, listening to us on KJLL. Timothy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I love the show. I like to think that this kid should take his dad to a domestic violence class and put a sign around his neck and have him sit down there and say, this is what you don't want to become with mental abuse that you're giving that kid. You're not getting anywhere with him having him sit down in a chair. If you want him to lose weight and feel good about himself, make him do something productive at work.
I am, as far as I can tell.
Having him sit on a chair?
I mean, what do you want me to do?
Should we start putting pig signs on offensive linemen and security guards and law officers and everything else, too? Or
I don't know. I don't know. All I'm trying to do is keep kids from eating junk food so they don't turn into these monstrosities that we're looking at. Sir, there are news items every day now. Children in America are overweight. Children in America are fat as hell. They don't say that, but they say children in America are fat and get fatter all the minute. Every minute of the day they're getting fatter. What are we supposed to do? So I pick my son and I go, I made a mistake. I let my son eat Skittles and M&Ms. Now take a look at it. Do you want your kid to look like that? I don't think so. And that may be when I take the candy out of a kid's hand, the parent will think about how big my son is and won't want to, pull a gun on me like that other guy said.
I don't know. You're causing my kids a lot more harm than good. I can tell you that.
My own son, he's 24 years old. What else, he's living at home right now because his mother was fat. And I'm not kidding.
Are you saying it's the mother?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's that? I know. His mother.
Are you saying it's his mother's fault or your fault?
On balance?
On balance.
I'd say it's more his mother's fault just because she ate. There wasn't a plate of food that was on a table, and it could have been sitting in front of somebody else that she didn't think she owned.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go over to Tom. Tom, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. And this is changing, Bob. First you're saying it was the junk food. Now you're saying it's the size of the mother.
No, it was the junk food, but his mom is big.
Tom, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm really distraught on this. My son was overweight for some years, and his mother is overweight as well. But I never in my life blamed either one of them. I mean, the parent's job is to make sure that you take care of your child and maintain what they eat and how much they eat. That's part of being a parent. So it's the parent's problem. Don't blame it on the candy bar. It's not the candy bar's problem. It's the parent's problem. Whether they get a candy bar at your store, some other store, they're going to get a candy bar if they want it bad enough. They don't have to buy it at your store.
That's true. Well, that's right. At least I can say they didn't buy it at Bob Green's store. If I see a fat kid go, excuse my language, I see a fat kid go down the street, at least I can say I didn't do that. You know, somebody else.
No, you didn't do that whether you sell a candy bar or not. You didn't do that. That was the parents' fault.
Well, now, see, that's what you're saying what I've been saying. Your wife was fat, right? So you know it was more her fault because she's the one that shoveled all that food
into it.
No, that's not what the man said. He said it wasn't her fault, and it wasn't the candy bar's fault.
Why are you letting your wife off the hook?
Why am I letting my wife off too? Because she didn't make him fat.
Did you not just tell me that she's big too?
You bet she's big.
And how did she get big? How did she get big? Because she...
Anyway, everybody gets big. Sometimes we have thyroid problems. And there's other issues
That thyroid problem is real.
Yeah, okay, it's real. Yeah, okay, it's real. And you know what? Someday we may discover life on other planets. But the fact...
No, thyroid conditions are absolutely real.
Well, but this gentleman wants to let his wife off the hook while she was sitting there eating comfort food and she wanted somebody to eat with her, so it was the kid. You don't see that, sir.
You're incorrect, and don't put words in my mouth, because that is not what happened.
I don't know what happened.
I was overweight because of my doing and my
wife's
doing. It had nothing to do with anybody else.
More your wife's doing than you're doing.
That's what you don't understand. This man is saying he's not blaming his wife.
He's not blaming his wife, but he says it's her fault. I don't get that.
No, I did not. I never said it was her fault. It was
She was coming home with the big bags of the tiny Milky Ways. Didn't you say that?
No, he did not say that.
Well, then I'm hearing things.
Yeah, you must be hearing things because he never said that. Tom, thank you so much. Tom, how's your son now? Is he still overweight?
No, actually, he's a football player, and he's big. He's not overweight, but he's a big boy. I mean, broad shoulders. You know, big build.
Uh-huh, good.
This is Bob Green. Does your wife play any sports?
What is that supposed to mean?
No. I'm just kidding.
All right, no, that's fine. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We don't need that kind of joking when we're talking about the health of children.
Mr. Henry, I don't see you not feeding kids candy. I don't see this gentleman not. I'm the one that has prohibited the sale of candy to children. Me, Bob Green. The head of Fraser Foods, the CEO. I'm the one. Me. So when people call up and give me a hard time and tell me that I'm the closest thing to Satan walking the earth because I tell kids...
Nobody has said that, Bob. What people are saying, though, is that you have to exercise the limits that a parent must put on a child, and to say, well, his mother was fat, so therefore that's why he got fat and I didn't do it, and then to put him on display in the store with a sign around his neck that says, this is what your kid will look like. I think there's some things you need to consider here. Robert Green with us from Fraser Foods on his decision to, throughout the chain, his store's chain, prohibit selling candy to children under 18. No more Skittles, no more M&Ms, none of the stuff there from the display cases at the checkout stand. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Robert Green in a moment. More of your phone calls.
His mother was huge. I mean, she was huge.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
That's an interesting theory. I have Robert Green with me on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods. We're talking up here about the study that junk food is as addictive as cocaine. You have no problem with humiliating a kid?
Well, Phil, What would you do?
I mean, telling a kid that he's a fat oaf?
Would you rather the kid die of cancer or a heart attack?
What kid is going to die of a heart attack from obesity? Look, the problem with obesity is that it gets worse and worse and worse. Don't you want to put that kid through some kind of a regimen that requires physical discipline?
A regimen that requires physical... You think you're running a training camp for the Green Bay Packers or something.
No, I'm not. I'm simply saying, don't you think it's going to get more results?
I'm saying to you that whatever keeps a kid alive, and more importantly, whatever keeps a kid from becoming a burden on society, when you sell a kid his bag of M&Ms and Skittles, that's one more step toward him becoming something in a hover round. And I don't mean to be...
What do you mean?
I mean, you've seen people that are so overweight. They are so overweight, they can't even be bothered taking one step. They don't want to walk. They'll just sit in a hover round. My son, and I'm proud of this, and I told him, you can eat as much as you want, but you will never, ever not take a step. You have to take at least a step, and then you can sit in your hover round.
Are you talking about those electric carts?
Yes.
Well, what do you mean you're going to have to take a step?
You get so fat that you just give up on walking.
I thought that those people were in those things because they can't walk.
No, they know how to walk. They just gave up on it.
8-7, so you're telling me you tell your son he has to take at least one step?
At least, is that asking too much when I say to my own son, you are so huge. I mean, you're even bigger than your mother. I mean, I'm joking about it. His mother wasn't that big, but I'm making a joke. I'm trying to lighten it up. Because I remember that line from the Op-Ed Kono in Alien when he said, it's huge, you know, it's as big as a man. But I'm saying that my son, I say to him, you know, you want to sit in your little electric cart, that's fine. You have to at least take one step toward the refrigerator. You're not taking the whole trip over there in a golf cart.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a caller here, Vera, in Fresno, California. Vera, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I just, first of all, want to make sure that I get a chance to speak, because this gentleman seems to always be interrupting everyone that speaks.
Well, I know the facts.
Okay. Okay, so no, here's, in my opinion, you are being a hypocrite. First of all, you have a store where you sell candy, and you're saying that you want to help all these children, that you're out to help them, yet you continue to sell that candy. So if you really, really want to help somebody, you'd remove that candy off the shelf. The other thing is here you
doesn't
are
work that way.
Talking and demeaning your son in that way. You can't even help your son, and you want everyone else to believe that you're really trying to help another child? The help starts at home, and if you can't help your own child, how can you help anyone else?
Ma'am, I'm helping my son. I told you that if he wants to use his hover round, he has to take one, at least walk a step. That's
no,
I
get that. I get that.
Right.
But the problem is that he is so... You demean him so much that it is,
well,
it
ma'am,
is sad. It
do
is
you want your kid looking
see,
like that?
No, you listen to me. It is very sad that you're doing that to that child. Yes, he's 24 years old now. But you know what? You've demeaned him so much, and I only feel that you must have had a really bad life to continue that vicious circle that you're doing.
I've had a great life. The only thing wrong with my life is that I married his mother. And I don't even mind marrying. His mother was a wonderful woman, but she was, I'm telling you, she was way too big.
You must have been a wonderful woman to even consider you at all. But you know what? You go back
and forth.
First you blame your wife, then you blame yourself. You just have no clue of what's going on. You must be in desperate need of attention or something, because you're hurting the child. Like I said, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, sir. Because
no, I had the candy in the store to help them get the discipline not to buy it. So if a kid sees the Skittles, and says, no, I'll resist buying it, he gets
discipline. It's very obvious to everybody that's listening that you're coming across as just a vicious man.
Can I ask you a question?
No clue.
Let's get down to it. Do you own a hover round? You own a hover round, don't you? You own a hover round. I know you do. That's why you're getting upset, because you own a hover round. Don't you?
Phil Hendry.